Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Your gut, along with its nervous system, plays a crucial role in your overall well-being. It communicates with your brain, influences your immune system, and even affects your mood. When you nourish it, treat it well, and listen to it, it works in harmony with the rest of your body. But if you neglect it, you may feel the effects such as low energy, digestive discomfort, and even shifts in mood. So how do we take care of our gut? Dr. Mary McCreary is a registered dietitian and she joins me on the line now. Mary, you're very welcome.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Now, I'm a major advocate for gut health. I think it's a brilliant mindset shift for people to have, to move away from diet culture and restriction to focus on what we can add in to feel better. So what are some of the main habits to include when it comes to our gut health?
Okay, so this is a campaign that's been run by Yakult to try and highlight and make people aware of the role that their gut plays in their overall health and well-being. Now, because we're so bombarded with, as you said there, the diet culture of don't eat this and don't eat that and only have protein and don't eat carbohydrate, which as dietitians and nutritionists, that is not what we would be promoting for good health at all. So in the gut, how you stimulate and increase your gut health is to make sure that you have the right type of gut microbe. And most of that is coming from your diet. So, for example, when you eat an awful lot of fruits and vegetables, that is going to increase the good bacteria that lives in your gut. The Irish government recommend that we would have about 7 pieces of fruit and veg a day, which sounds like an awful lot, but it's very, very easy to incorporate. And I'll give you some examples of that now in a minute. But the other thing is that we need to be trying to get as many different colours of the fruit and veg into our diet as we possibly can. So if you look at, say, the orange from carrots and the yellow of bananas and the purple from your blueberries and the red from strawberries, you're automatically looking at different colours, because each of these different fruits and veg are going to give us slightly different polyphenols and flavonoids, which all promote the antioxidants, the antioxidant work in our and improve your gut health as well as giving you the fiber as well. So there's lots of different ways you can include these into your diet. For so example, if you're having blueberries with your breakfast one morning, you change it maybe to strawberries the following morning, you change it to a banana the following morning. And then we can use lots of different vegetables, and people forget about the poor old vegetables, and frozen vegetables are as nutritious as fresh vegetables, whereas people have this idea that they're not as good for you, but actually they are as nutritious as fresh vegetables. So lots of things that are out of season or might not necessarily be grown in Ireland can be used in the frozen vegetables, and also frozen fruits. You get lots of frozen mangoes and papaya. Lots of the big supermarkets prepare these bags of frozen fruit that you can use, making into your smoothies. But even using things like garlic and onion, and again, you have white onion and you have red onion, so you have the different colours there as well. Using ginger if you're making stir fries. So there's lots of ways of including all of these foods that are really, really going to improve your gut health.
Can we talk a bit about fermented foods then? Because they are a major plus and people can be a little bit scared of them.
Yeah, and there's probably the definition of really what a fermented food is. So, for example, if you take bread, which is fermented, but it doesn't have any live bacteria in the finished product. And so when you're looking at the label, you're looking to see that there is live bacteria or active bacteria in that product. So you're looking at yogurts, maybe sour cream. There's other, you know, those pickled type of vegetables. You know, there's lots of different kombuchas one, but I would recommend that you get them from your food rather than supplements, because different nutrients interact with each other and the different nutrients complement each other as well. So if you're, I would see dairy products as being really the superfoods when you think of all the nutrients that we get and the first class source of protein. You know, that things like your yogurts and your milk and your cheeses, all of those sort of products, which I would really, really encourage people to have into their diet as well. But it's also coming back to the basics, Claire, as well. And this is sort of, as a dietitian, it's very hard to combat all the misinformation that there is from the wellness gurus or the life coaches or, you know, the gym bunnies, don't eat this and don't eat that. We would always promote as dietitians that there's no good food or bad food. It's the combination of the different nutrients that will make a good diet or a bad diet. And that's really the basis of it. So when you're going around the supermarket, you're looking back to the basics that, you know, your meat, your fish, your chicken, your eggs, your milk, and then all your fruits and vegetables. So it's going back to basics a little bit rather than paying out huge amounts of money for fancy food.
I also have a real bugbear, Mary, with what I eat in a day, because I think everybody is different. So for somebody to decide based often on the look of somebody, because quite often they've got that athletic build and they're showing what they eat in a day, people think, well, if I eat that, I'll look like that. And it doesn't work that way.
Well, it reminds me, I don't know, you're probably too young to remember this ad, but there used to be an ad for a Special K, and it was a fabulous looking woman in a red swimsuit in the ad for the Special K. And like the amount of people that would think, God, if I look like her, I'd eat Special K the whole time. But that's exaggerated now because we have so many of these gym bunnies. But also from a guy's perspective, you also have to look. I mean, they're not necessarily just getting these from just going, these bodies from going to the gym and what they eat. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, sort of added supplements that are being used in there maybe to create this image as well. But I absolutely agree with you 100%. Everybody is different and everybody's tastes are different. So you could be somebody that really likes sweet foods and has no interest in savory foods. And certainly from dealing with patients in an obese setting, the majority of patients in an obese setting will have a savory tooth rather than a sweet tooth. And they'll say, well, I don't really like sweets and I don't really like sweet things, but they will love the things like the crisps and the, you know, all that really rich oil-based savory foods. So, you know, we all are very, very different. There's no right and there's no wrong. And the other thing is, as we age a little bit as well, our taste buds change. So where you might find a young child doesn't like the taste of fish or vegetables or fruit, but growing into an early adult, they suddenly readjust this. But as we get older again, we lose the ability to taste sweet foods and salt. So you'll find a lot of older people use an awful lot of salt on their food because they're trying to recreate the taste, but they've lost that ability to taste the salt. So it's all about different people during the different stages of their life. And your own personal likes and dislikes. That, you know, the one thing that would be discovered really from dealing with eating disorder patients is that if they're not eating foods that they don't like, and lots of them would eat food that they don't particularly like because they're losing weight on it, but your mood drops. So there's much more to our food than just the nutritional value. It's about the pleasure that we get from food, the social interaction from going out and having that pleasurable time, but the taste and the smell and the texture of food. There's so much more to our food than just the nutrition.
And of course, it's not just what you eat, it's how you eat. So making sure that we are taking the time to sit and eat mindfully. I know it's always a marker for me that I've let things slide when I find myself eating more in the car than I am at the kitchen table.
Oh, that is dreadful, I have to say. And the whole point of this campaign is really trying to educate people how to adopt habits that will support that thriving gut. And how you eat is really, really important in that. And one of the things I would say to people is that when you should, number one, sit down at the table for each of your meals. You sit down to have your breakfast, you sit down to have lunch and dinner, but you put the phone away, you put the TV away, you put the laptop away, because if you're sitting with food in your hand and you're on the laptop, you're not really conscious of what you're eating. You're not getting those other stimulants, as I say, that pleasure and that feel good from eating your food. So eating slowly, but paying attention. So it's mindful eating rather than mindless eating. But portions are a really big thing as well. That if you're not really paying attention to what you're eating, your cues for hunger and fullness are going to be missing a little bit as well. So it's really important that you tune back into that, and so that you're not having these huge portions of food and you're not under eating, but that you're eating and you're getting that pleasure out of it as well. So other habits is also to make sure that you're drinking enough as well. And we're a big country of tea drinkers, so it's perfectly acceptable to use tea as your fluid. It doesn't have to be water, and again, that's a little bit of a myth that it does have to be water that you drink, but it doesn't. And over drinking is as bad as under drinking. And you know, again, you see people walking up the road or on the train or on the bus with these massive big bottles, these water bottles. So to over drink is not as it is as bad as under drinking as well.
Obviously, excessive alcohol can impact on your gut health. Moving regularly can make a massive difference. And finally, managing stress. Now, I know that's easier said than done, but this is another reason I really like to promote gut health, because there's a holistic view with it. It's not just eat this one thing. You're looking at how you're eating, what you're eating, how you're moving, and also how you're managing your life, because all of that has an impact on your gut health.
Absolutely. And that's those habits again that we're trying to promote, that, you know, that it's your diet is so important, but then exercise is so important as well. But it doesn't have to be the gym bunnies either. You can go out for a walk, you can bring the dog down to the beach, you can go for a cycle, a swim, play tennis, it go to dance classes. It doesn't matter what the exercise is, but exercise, and it has been shown scientifically that people that exercise have better gut microbe than people who don't exercise. Now, tie that in then, that's going to help reduce stress. So if you're able to go out, it doesn't have to be an hour's walk or 2 hours walk. We're talking about 20 minutes. So it's 10 minutes up the road and 10 minutes back. And that's going to help you de-stress that little bit as well. So just to find that time, just that time out to deal with that stress, which leads on then to sleep. And I'm a big advocate about sleep, and we're going to hear so much more about sleep over the next couple of years and the role that sleep plays in our overall health and well-being. But a huge habit that people have developed is they bring their phones with them to bed, they have their laptops in bed, they might even have a TV in the bedroom. So they're not de-stressing in that 10 or 15 minutes before they try and go to sleep. They're actually still continuing with stimuli from Instagram and TikTok and anything that they might find on their phone, and people even sending emails from their bed at night. So that's all linking into, as you say, that holistic approach, that it's making sure you're getting good sleep, making sure that you're drinking enough fluids, making sure you're getting some exercise every day, but you're including all these fruits and veg and the fiber in your diet, and it's all coming together. And it does, it has been shown to impact both your mood and your overall sense of general well-being.
And I know it sounds like a lot, particularly when we give it out in a list like that, but making small, sustainable changes that build over time become who you are and how you live, it really can be done. If you want to find out more about Mary's work, you can go to drmccreary.com and also blackrockhealth.com. Dr. Mary McCreary, registered dietitian, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, Claire. Thank you.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.